Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tarot of Empowerment Radio, where you can obtain tools to live to your highest potential with Judith Sult, who has over 30 years as an intuitive tarot reader, teacher, and healer.
Hi, everyone. Sounds like the phones are ringing tonight. That's great. Welcome to Tarot of Empowerment Radio. We have the promise of a lot of empowering ideas to come to you from our conversations with James Wanless of the Voyager Tarot Deck. I'm very excited to have him as a guest this evening. Before I introduce James, I want to introduce the Tower card, our newest card from Tarot of Empowerment, the deck that I'm co-creating with Gordana Kurga. The Tower card gets a bad rap as a scary card, and, you know, a lot of times in the movies where you see tarot cards and they'll have the Death card or the Tower card, and they try to make it look evil and unattractive. And actually, the Tower card is, they're all an opportunity. All of the cards are an opportunity. In our deck, the card is not only crumbling, but it's exploding from the foundations. But you look at the explosions and they're fireworks, because they're exciting fireworks fireworks that are part of the opportunities that are coming your way. I've got to fix something here. I apologize. Okay. The Tower card, here's some Tower energy. How's that? It's all the explosions that are coming up and happening. The Tower cards are about releasing old paradigms. It's cataclysmic, not catastrophic change. And when the Tower card comes up for you in a reading, it suggests that change is going to be coming into your life. And the foundations of your structure will be changing. Today I want to introduce to you James Wanless. James is known as creator of the Voyager deck, and most recently he has produced a new deck about living a sustainable life, and we'll be discussing that today. James is a former professor of political science in the Middle East with PhD from Columbia University. James Wanless is a prototype 21st whole man as he embraces all parts of himself. He does it all, and he's sustained. Wanless is a message by the creative, productive, healthy, spirited, energetic, and renewable lifestyle that he models for others. He is indeed a rare combination of talents. As an academic and an entrepreneur, a visionary, a counselor, an author, an artist, a keynote speaker, a humorist, futurist, and wild green man, he is a multi-team partner. Wanless took 4 years to design the best-selling Voyager deck, a revolutionary deck of illuminating insight cards. These are collage cards that, even if you don't know James' name, which is not very likely, his deck is this collage of many ideas. The Voyager deck led him to work with companies and organizations teaching and training the power of intuitive thinking for such applications as innovations, communication, decision-making, and personal growth. This work birthed his book, Intuition at Work, and podcast series, Intuition into Action, and most recently, his new work about sustaining yourself. We'll be taking questions later in the show, and you can ask James some questions yourself. So welcome to the show, James Wanless. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thank you, Judith. Thank you very much. It's always great to talk about the cards and all these kind of great esoteric things and make them a little bit more accessible to everybody without, like you were talking about before, with tarot cards, you know, for some people pretty scary and dark and all that, which is really crazy, you know. And my mission in life is to bring these marvelous tools, like a tarot deck, out into the light, out of the musty old occult closet, if you will, and into the mainstream, because it's great psychology. It really is. It gets your psychology right. And tarot is a psychology that's good for the whole person, a mind, heart, body. I love it, and it's very profound and proactive tool for really activating all parts of ourselves. It's just a marvelous, marvelous instrument guiding our lives. What do you think about that?
I totally agree. And I know in the last 20 or 30 years, even since I've been reading tarot, that it has so much been reinterpreted in so much more of a positive way than the old books. I don't know if you ever read the book by Alfred Douglas, and just, the feeling of hopelessness and helplessness, the actual words that he used with so many of the cards, and that has definitely changed with the reinterpretations that you and your contemporaries have done of the deck.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in a lot of that old tarot is very medieval, if you know what I mean. And
yes.
when I started learning and doing readings with the cards and teaching tarot in the 70s. I did it for a few years with the classic old medieval tarot, the kings and queens and sword and blood and all that stuff. And after a couple of years, I said, I'm not real pleased with this. I love the process, but I'm not thrilled with these old cards. So one day, under the influence of caffeine, actually, very strong drug called coffee, I got this wild idea of making my own deck of cards. And fortunately, I had a neighbor friend who was an artist looking for a project. And I just said out of the blue to my friend Ken, I said, Ken, let's make the magician. And he said, who? What? Why? How? He knew nothing of the tarot. So I said, it's this archetype, personality type, blah, blah, blah. And I went out and collected all the images and then took them over from my garage to his garage, where all great inventions happen, I guess, garages. And we started working, and he would be the hands-on, intuitive maker of the cards, and I would pretty much say yes or no, I like that or whatever, and bring him the imageries and talk about the cards and all of that. So we worked that with Judith for 4 years. Voyager Tarot was a four-year process, I will tell you that, and well worth it, very well worth it.
Well, being in the process of creating my deck with Gordana, I can definitely understand what you mean, because each card becomes such a good friend, and each card becomes so special in its own right. Did you feel that way as you were co-creating the cards, that it was, oh my goodness, this is my favorite card ever?
Until you start on the next card, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, and you're experiencing this now with your own deck.
Right.
The making of a deck of cards is one of the greatest, highest moments of one's life. I mean, there's something just so special about that whole affair, a love affair with, in a way, with yourself, because when you make a card like the magician or the priestess or the hermit or the lover or these archetypes, these personality types, you really get in touch with yourself, and you really kind of have to become the card, get into that state of consciousness when you're making the deck. So one thing I recommend, and one of the workshops I teach actually, is helping people create their own cards, because that's just a great way to discover yourself and find your own roadmap, your own symbols that you resonate with. And it's the process of making a deck is transformative in and of itself. And it wasn't always easy. I mean, it was interesting, like the death card, the first death card we made, I looked at it and I said, God, I love this card, but it's just too full of life. It's got too much stuff going on in there. And I literally had to, you know, it was collage, a rip off, like the death card is shed old skin or some of this art that we had done, and just get down to some real space of just like nothingness. So it was really kind of a death of having to say, oh no, I don't want to get rid of this, but I have to let it go, and I have to let this go, and I have to let that go, oh no. But hey, that's kind of the death releasing time. But in that process, not only do you feel the kind of the sorrow of having to release some good stuff, but at the same time, it's liberating. And of course, that's what the death card is. It's liberation. It's now I've gotten rid of this old baggage, this old skin, if you were a snake, you know, all
that's
this
right.
old stuff, the clutter in our extra room, and you know, all these things that we have we don't need, and to clutter up our lives and block our lives. And so it was a real death experience. It was a great event to have participated
in. And you have
in.
To, and that's right, and death is so much about the experience of preparing for the rebirth. And I think that, I know when we were creating our death card, one of the first cards that Gordana showed me and we were talking about, she had interpreted what I was saying accurately, but I realized that it had too much joy in it too. There was too much of the emphasis on rebirth, and that the death card, you have to expect that there's going to be some grief in the death card, because you are letting go something that's dear to you, even if it's old baggage that you want to get rid of. You've carried it around for a long time for a reason. Tell me about your tower card, how you interpret the tower card, since that was what I was introducing this week on with my deck.
The tower card. In classic old interpretations of the tower, it's not good. You know,
right,
it's kind of like
right.
It's all coming down, and oh my God, the world is. It's kind of a little bit like the 9/11 card. I mean, you know, everything just crashes around and all that. And hey, that can happen. We do know that happens. But I always look at it as an opportunity card to preempt the disaster, if you will.
Right.
And make breakthroughs, make conscious, proactive breakthroughs and breakouts in your life instead of breaking down. And it's unfortunate that, I guess it's human nature that a lot of times to make really great changes in our lives, we have to go through these tower-like disasters, catastrophic kind of things, or wars, if you will. Wars are great revolutionary items, but, you know, that's kind of like so reactionary. Why do we have to wait till it gets down to that point? Can't we just preempt all of that stuff and say, look, I do need to do a breakout and a break free here? And that's the way I view the tower. When I see that tower card come up, I said, well, watch out, but before watch out, what do I need to do now to break through? But, you know, most of us don't really want to. It's a lot of work to make a change like that. I mean, the death card is a releasing liberation in one way, but it's a little slow. It's a little evolutionary. It's a little bit like snake shedding time. The tower is abrupt. It's changed by fire. It's revolution, whereas death is evolution.
I often refer to the tower card as a cosmic kick in the ass card. If you don't if you're not preemptive and make that change that needs to be made, the tower is going to come into your life by way of the cosmos kicking you in the ass and getting you moving to the next stage.
And it will be a serious kick. You know?
Yes, it will.
But it is so hard for us, for all creatures, really, to make changes that don't seem totally necessary, you know, and because it's hard to make changes. And I think that's one of the things the tarot is really good for is kind of the power of the imagery. And one of the things with Voyager Tarot, it was probably the first multicultural tarot out there. I mean, it came out in 84, so it's 30 years old here, and a 250,000 copies later.
Yeah, congratulations, 30-year anniversary.
Thank you. But, you know, what's funny is, making it a multicultural deck of cards, I also wanted to make some changes and to get rid of some of the old dated stuff and political stuff. So I got, in Voyager, I got rid of kings and queens. I said, off with their heads. Who needs them? And so instead of the royal court cards in traditional tarot, I have the human family. So I don't have a king, a knight, a page, and all that stuff, which is politically dated. I have a child, man, woman, and sage, the grandmother, grandfather. So that's, I think, a really good updated revision. I think one thing back to the tower card, if you want to keep something alive, you have to keep it changing and growing and evolving and bringing it up to date. And that's a real tower principle here. And that's what I did with Voyager, is I got rid of a lot of this old medieval stuff. And, you know, I put new clothes on these characters.
that's the way you keep things alive. That's right. And that's what we're doing with the Tarot of Empowerment. We have, instead of the court cards, what we call the wisdom card, the student apprentice teacher and sage. And we're also getting rid of the Empress and the Emperor and some of those cards that just don't resonate in today's world, and also updating what the responsibility is. It is more than just the male. We're not a patriarchal society as much, certainly, as we were. And so a lot of that energy is reflected. But speaking of the tower and all the big changes that that it brings about, let's segue over to the sustaining yourself cards. Tell us how those came about. And this is your newest deck, correct?
Yeah, thanks, Judith. They're called sustain yourself cards. It's green wisdom, meaning it's all nature imagery. 101 cards, it's a humongous deck, and it reflects or symbolizes the elements of life and the minerals of life, the plant life and creature life, and even the kind of the primal wild human life. So it's all very natural way of living and eco principles for how to live your life. And it's, you know, actually, I got to tell you, this is a deck that I started making 25 years ago. I mean, Voyager's been out a few years, but I realized that somewhere down the road I was going to have some more ammunition here. I never bet on one horse. I like to diversify my interests and, you know, products and work and all that kind of stuff. So, in any event, I've always been a tremendous believer, Judith, in nature. I think nature is the ultimate model and mentor for how to live life. Everything from business, which is all about creating, producing, and distributing goods and services, which nature does abundantly. And nature knows about relationships, these incredible ecologies that nature concocts here, with all these diverse creatures. You know, it's just genius. Yeah. And so then, you know, I tell you, every Christmas, when I don't have any work, I would just go ahead and start making these little collages. This time I'm the maker of the cards, the pretty simple collages, but it's all nature stuff. And I just kept making them and making them over 20-some-odd years, and I'd get a little, you know, enthused, and I'd make some more. But a few years ago when that whole word sustainability came in, and it's usually kind of an environmental ecological principle of sustainability, I just said, wow, that just grabbed me. It was about sustaining oneself, sustaining myself. We are an environment ecology unto ourselves. How do we sustain as people? And I guess it really hit home, like, when I was 65, which is 6 years ago. I'm 71 now. And when I was supposed to retire, and I said, this is ridiculous. I can't retire. I got to refire. You know, I can't afford to retire. I got to refire. I've got to keep going. And by the way, I might live a long time. My dad just passed away at 99. So here I've got almost 30 more years. Well, I have a good 30 years to live. I'm going like, how am I going to afford this? How am I going to keep up with the times? Sustain. And nature is by far the best sustainer model we ever have. I mean, nature for billions of years, eons, has been able to renew itself, reinvent itself, recreate itself, reproduce itself, itself. And to me, that's the big holy grail of today. We're living long. Life is demanding. There is so much change. How do we keep going? How do we keep renewing, repurposing,
right,
remodeling our life? And again, nature is the teacher. So that's what these Sustain Yourself cards are really, really helpful to us about.
And I like that, James, because I heard James make a presentation recently, and he had his cards with him, and they're beautiful cards. And I like them because, as you know from the name of my deck, Tarot of Empowerment, I'm interested in people learning how to gain tools that are going to help them take control of their life and walk a path of sustainability or empowerment. And that's exactly what your cards do. And I just really enjoyed them and hearing
your story about them. But, you know, I must say, Judith, we're so kind of disconnected from nature in a way, really, we humans and we modern humans, that we don't really know a lot about nature. I mean, the ignorance is phenomenal.
Right.
I mean, I had to take a crash course myself in biology and botany and all this kind of stuff, you know. And so it's kind of fun to, I mean, when people pick a card like the bacteria card, for example, they don't get it, or they don't like these cards. Ooh, bacteria, you know, like that, you know, stuff like that. We're just so disconnected and so unknowledgeable that a lot of me using the Sustain cards is education. It's teaching people what nature is all about and how we are nature, in fact, ourselves.
How many cards are in your deck? 101, is that correct?
101.
In the Sustain deck.
101. Right.
And kind of like nature 101, you hit all phases of it. Like you said, the mineral, the living, there are
right,
four categories, as I recall.
Actually five. The
or
elements,
five,
the minerals, okay, plants, creatures, and humans. Yep.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And that's one of the great readings I do, actually, is pick a card from each one of those domains of nature and kind of create your own ecology. I love to do that, you know?
Well, that's, I'm glad you love
like
to do it. I'm glad you love to do it, because let's do it for Stephen, who is a caller that we have. And one of the fun things that we did at the evening at Vision Quest in Everett when James was there is he pulled both a sustaining card and a tarot card. And you can see how they work together. And I think the best way to show this is by example. And so, Stephen, are you on the air with us today?
I am now.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, Judith. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
Good. I'm doing really good. I've had a great summer. It feels like a lot of doors are opening for me. And
terrific.
I was curious to have if you you and James wouldn't mind pulling a couple of cards and seeing what lies ahead, things to look out for, things, good things I can expect, or whatever just comes up, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, I like that,
James?
Stephen. Like, whatever comes up is a very good way of looking
well,
at this.
Yeah. I want to be open to whatever information's there. I ask
right.
hold my higher self in, and I ask to have them interact with your higher self so that the communication was really clear.
Well, and I like what you just said about information, and that's what all cards are. They're information.
Yes.
And it's what we do with the information that makes all the difference. I think some people think because a card comes up, that's God, it's etched in stone and all that kind of, this is what's going to happen. Not true. It's just information, and then armed with that new knowledge and information, we'll make better choices. You know?
Exactly, better choices and decisions.
And Stephen, I also like what you said about, and I called on my higher self. So often, just by the nature of calling on your higher self, that's an empowering act, and that's calling on your highest potential, and it sets the intention that you are coming from a place of receptivity and wisdom, and I think that's terrific that you started with that. That's
mm-hmm.
great.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jim, have you pulled a card for him?
Well, okay, so, Stephen, I'm going to pick one of the nature cards, stain cards, because it's about keeping on, you know, being able to hang in there and being healthy and wealthy enough. And all. Ooh, now this is an interesting, well, it's, you know, we need TV. There should be television so we can really show the car.
I agree.
Well,
yeah,
perhaps Judith could post it on her Facebook page or website later.
No, something like that. That's actually not a bad idea. But this, the card that we got for you, Stephen, is called the Eucalyptus Man. And it's actually a picture of me like 15 years ago in front of a tree. I've got shield bark for my clothes and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's kind of pretty exotic. I can't even describe it to you. But the title on the top is called The Guardian, because I'm sitting in front of this tree. So I'm the guardian of the trees and all plant life, if you will. So that's kind of the message of the information. So, Stephen, what do you sense intuitively? What do you need to guard against? What do you have to pay attention to? It's kind of like a little bit of a warning card, like, hey, watch out for that, or don't go there, or pay attention to this. Does anything in particular come up for you in your life about that?
Just don't follow into old patterns. Stay out of drama. Yeah, just,
excellent.
You know, I think that's true for all of us, is to release the past, let go of the beliefs and attitudes, thoughts and feelings, choices and decisions that no longer serve us, that no longer propel us forward in an expansive state. And that's what I've been doing with my summer. Absolutely.
Wow, but as the guardian here, it's saying absolutely correct what we're talking about, but some of the old thoughts, some of the old habit patterns come creeping back in, you know. I mean, it's hard to get rid of everything completely.
Yeah, and to be vigilant. To be
vigilant, absolutely vigilant. And so when you get one of those old beliefs that tears us down, or one of the doubts about ourselves and all that kind of stuff, it's see it as quickly as possible and then dismiss it. Hello, goodbye,
mm-hmm.
hello, goodbye. Because, you know,
mm-hmm.
those old beliefs and thoughts aren't just going to disappear completely. They're going to resurface. So, like you say, we have to be ever vigilant and dismiss
mm-hmm.
them immediately. Because they're the killers. They're the demons, you know, and it's like a lot of people.
Yeah, and the card that I got, two of them came up together, the Seven of Water, which is about having a lot of choices about how you do look at things and how you respond to them emotionally. And then not to be caught in the other card is the Five of Cups in a reverse position. And so beware of being caught in the old pattern of I wish I woulda, coulda.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you're moving out of that, because you're coming in the course of this call, you're coming from a very strong place and a very clear mind. But especially with the guardian, it sounds as though there may be a temptation or the lack of vigilance for a moment to fall into some old emotional patterns that can sabotage you.
There's no doubt about that. Let's take this as one step further or one card further. So, Stephen, you're doing all the right stuff. I think cards are confirming. It's a confirmation reading, really. It's not so great aha. But let's just say you are doing the do. You're being vigilant and you're making wise choices and all the rest. So where is this going to take you? I'm going to pick a Voyager card where this kind of new way of living your way is taking you in life. So I'm going to pick a Voyager card here. The change card, the Eight of Worlds. So good going. If you are changing, which means you're growing, you're evolving, and therefore you are sustaining. What a great card. Good going. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah. And this change card in Voyager is a very real change. I mean, it's physical. It's material. It's in this earth world that we live in. So it's not just a thought, a feeling, or a vision. It's actuality. So you are doing the do, Stephen. Very, very nice. Keep going.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you.
I
just wanted to
enter. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Judith.
I was going to say I wish you well as you continue on this journey, because it sounds like you've really gone through made some major decisions recently in your life.
Indeed, I have.
And it's you're coming from a very very powerful place with that. And congratulations to you for doing that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
By the way, I wanted to interject here. I like the conversation between the two of you, you and James, regarding creating a new tarot deck. I thought that was interesting. You know, for years, since the 70s, I have been using the Rider tarot deck. And Judith, you and I in the past had touched briefly on that about the male chauvinism in that, and some of the other darker aspects of it. And I've never really considered those things before. And as James was pointing out in redesigning the card for the devil and the Tower of Destruction and that, I just thought, you know, it is really a good time to retool and redefine what the tarot means, how it can assist us in making choices and decisions. And as we upgrade and change the imagery and the definitions of, you know, the new tarot cards, we can better, I think it's a more viable tool for growth and change when we want to move it that way.
Right, you just said my favorite word, redesign, reformulate. Because if we're going to read, we're dying. Basically, we're not sustaining. So to keep up to date and to keep alive and keep going, we have to change and renew and redefine and all that good stuff. You got it, man. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well,
and if you are not familiar with the Voyager deck, Stephen, I think it would be a really good deck for you to work with. The energy of the cards there's a lot of movement, there's a lot of activity, there's a lot of body in the cards, and I definitely think it's one that would be a good match for you.
Mm-hmm. I will definitely look into that.
One of the things about redesigning also with Voyager, Stephen and Judith, I got rid of all the sword and blood stuff. Which are symbols of the mind, and the mind can certainly kill and destroy. We know that, the power of beliefs. But I just thought this is way too old and way too violent. We have enough problems in our lives. So I dropped the swords. I dumped the swords in traditional tarot into Voyager. I made them into crystals, which I think are really cool and apt. description or symbol for how we think today. And all, as a matter of fact, all our technology is based on the crystal and the multifacetedness of the crystal and the light and the all that kind of great stuff. So I think that was a super, super great redefinition of the old tarot.
I agree. Thank you so much for your call, Stephen.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. James, when tell us more about how you selected the suits and what your suits are in the Sustaining You deck and how they compare to your Voyager deck.
Right. Oh, boy. Yeah. The first thing about making the Sustain Yourself cards, this nature deck, was the structure of the deck. Number one, how many cards? Because there was no model. Actually, making a tarot deck in a way is much easier because you already we have structure, the organization, the model well set before us. So that's kind of easy. With this nature deck, I had no clue. I mean, why 101 cards? Why not 101,000 or 1,000,000,001 cards? You know. And by the way, how would we structure them? When I first started making this deck, I would put the cards out there, and I think I had like 12 different suits of cards. I mean, I had cards that were for color and cards for shapes and cards for this and cards for that, and it's all true and all good, but it was just way too much. And finally, when it got down to the nitty-gritty deadline, we're going to go to press here, I really had to get serious and say, okay, you know, you have to make an executive decision. Executive is to cut. And to cut away stuff you really, really don't need. So I had to get rid of all that stuff. And I just went back to just the base means of nature. I mean, really simple. And we know there's an animal world. We know there's a plant world. We know there's a mineral world. We know there's elements. So it pretty much, when I went into that basic classifications of nature, it broke itself down pretty easily into that. But I don't, in the Sustain Yourself cards, I don't have, numbers on the cards and say, and or suits, if this is the suit of minerals or something like that. I really didn't want to go there. It's a lot more open than that. But there's suits of cards there, and I like doing readings where we pick one card for each one of these domains of nature. Like, let's take a look at your animal self and your mineral self and your elemental self, you know, and do a five-card reading from the five domains to see what kind of ecology you are. It's really rich and very innovative. It's just such a new window, a new way of looking at yourself. And I love that. I mean, you know, there's a lot of decks out there, Judith, that are animal decks and, you know, and there's some herbal decks, and they're all kind of they're kind of nice. I mean, which there's nothing wrong with nice is what I'm saying. But with the Sustain Yourself cards, I mean, I've got compost. I mean, I've got fungus. I mean, I've got real nature cells. You know, I'm not just a bunch of a pretty owl or a nice bear or something like that. It's a little bit like a child's thing. I mean, this is real world, and we are that. We are bacteria. We are fungus. We are the stuff, you know, and what to make of it. And to me, it's like if you want to know who you are and go forward into life, you got to go backwards into our history and herstory. And I'm talking not just human history. We're talking the primordial natural history, because we all come from that. Because if you look at the DNA, our human DNA chromosome, which is on the backside of the Voyager card, you know, that beautiful mandala that you know about, Judith.
Right.
The DNA
right.
of a that I'm leaning up against, the tree I'm up against here, or a worm that I'm looking at right now, the DNA of a creature world or you know, nature, it's the exact same as human. It's only when you get into these little microscopic changes that we'd see any difference. So the point is, we are everything of nature that we see around us. And truly, if you want to be a whole, whole, complete human being, you have to connect and reconnect with the primal nature of your being. And I really believe that, and that's what these cards are designed to do for us.
Okay. How has doing this deck changed your life, your personal life?
I have so much more appreciation, number one. And, you know, it's funny because while I was making these decks, I was also contacting a mythic coach coach, but a legendary coach, a mythic coach called the Green Man. And the Green Man is a legendary spring god of resurrection, a god of renewal, spring god, you know, and he's legendary throughout Europe, and in most cultures have green men types of characters. So while I was making these cars, I started connecting with Green Man, and I'd ask this character some questions, and all of a sudden I'd just start downloading all these ideas coming through me. And the first thing Green Man said to agree to be my coach was if I would certainly go out and walk in nature and breathe uh-huh. in nature and touch nature. And so the first exercise in renewing my life and sustaining my life and being whole and happy was connect with nature, get out into nature, and I say breathe it and touch it. And that's one of the real things I've gotten out of these cards is the value of that.
Well, I know you have always, I remember, you know, 20, 25 years ago, 20 years ago, I think, when we met, you were talking about the Green Man even then. So I can see that there's this ongoing affinity that you have that is really significant. And it's great to be able to have that kind of a channel, that kind of a communication. Do you ever do any world readings, like when we see all of the chaos that's going on right now in various parts of the world? Do you ever do world readings?
An updated New Year's reading for every New Year. I do a reading for the world, which is always kind of quite a project, to be sure. Yeah.
And,
you want to pick the card for the world?
And do you do it for during the course of the year, as the year goes along, that you're going to, that you kind of can tell what's happening? Or do you do just a general theme for the world? How do you do that?
Well, I break it down. When I do readings for a person, a human, it's called the whole self mandala. So while we look at the mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, and all those aspects within us, then we look at the aspects around us of your money, your work situation, your living situation, your relationship situation. So that translates very easily to the world. So what about the world economy? What about the relationships of the world, the politics and all of that? What about the home of the world, meaning the nature and the environment of the world? So I just, you know, we just pick cards just like that. I mean, it really, really simple. You know, but I just do one a year. I think, you know, the world's events are kind of out of our control to a certain extent, out of everybody's. What can we control? We can control ourselves. And people mm-hmm. spend so much energy and time and everything talking about stuff they have they really don't know anything about, probably, and they have no power over it. But you have power over ourselves, and that's why I'm much more interested in personal readings, the state of you.
Yeah.
You in 2015, the state of your mind, the state of your heart, the state of your body, the state of your economy, and the state of your environment. That's interesting to me.
I've always had a curiosity about that because when, as you look at the world, you know, as I've seen other people do a reading, a tarot reading for the world, to me it has seemed, but the world here in the United States in Bellingham, Washington is different than the world in New York City or in Japan or someplace else. I mean, the circumstances around our lives, the global issues that are coming up are like a wave that goes back and forth and a tide, and they're not the same all over the world. So that's always been a curiosity to me, just like somebody pulling a card for the day for everyone. Well, how's that going to relate to me? And so I...
Well, it is. But big believer in it, like I agree with you about the context. Everybody belongs. Absolutely. I mean, when I do readings,
you're cutting in and out a little bit, Jim.
I mean, I'm interested in when I do a reading with somebody to really get an idea of the context, where they live, all that kind of stuff, because it's all about context. We are not separate from our culture. We are not separate from our physical location of where we live. We're not separate from any of that. So you can't really talk about ourselves in a void without getting the context. Geopsychology, I think, is really important. And green psychology here, like you're in Bellingham, and Bellingham is near the water. You've got big, massive mountains around you also. I mean, that affects your psyche. That has to affect your psyche. So it's not like you're living in the plains of Iowa here.
Right.
And you're not in downtown Tokyo. So, I mean, it makes a huge, huge difference. I agree with you totally.
Yeah, it's amazing to me when we travel. I grew up in the Southwest, and there are still parts of the Southwest that just feed my soul, particularly in the Four Corners area. But living there, I'm there for a variety of reasons. Living there year round wouldn't work for me. Bellingham is perfect for us. Now, I don't want everyone moving up here, and I'll tell you, it rains a lot.
Yeah. While you're just saying that, Judith, I picked a card for you in Bella.
Oh.
Well, there you go. You're perfectly adapted to where you are living. But, you know, I work a lot in Asia now, Judith, a lot in Japan. China.
Right.
They really respect the Western mystic arts. And, by the way, they have money, which is very nice. So they pay and all that kind of good stuff. But in terms of cultural differences, there are differences. Like when I teach how to do the sustained Voyager cards, it's different. They would like to know the exact interpretation of each card, and they'll remember it, they'll memorize it, they'll get it right. They'll be perfect on a test if you were to give them that. They're not the most flexible, adaptable, and creative with it, and I'm much more on the creativity side, frankly. You know, it's interesting, you posted on my Facebook wall some questions people could have, questions on Facebook about what they'd want to ask me, and there was a client or student or something like that. What would be a good client for me? And good clients for me are people who get enough of the basic meaning of the card, but really live it out. I mean, become the card. It's not a mental memorization technique. I mean, that's what drives me crazy. It's just another mental thing, and it's not. This is a life yoga. I mean, this is a way of becoming a whole person and growing yourself. And the only way you can do that is through action. And the cards just give us the template or the model for who to be. But it ain't going to happen unless you do it. So I kind of get frustrated with always having to come up with new material and agents, new stuff for people to memorize. Forget about that. Let's just go deeper into what we do know already. Become the cards, become the cards, become the cards. And that's what I love about my living tarot retreats, which are usually a week-long thing where we actually become the cards. That's where real change is going to happen.
When is your next retreat coming up, James?
Oh, I don't have one scheduled right now for 2015. I'm trying to get through the rest of this year.
Well, I know that you've been doing a lot of traveling in Asia and actually around the United States. If people want to find out where you are, let's make sure that we give them your contact information, your website, and how to kind of track you.
Right. Well, the easiest way probably for a lot of us to book through would be my name, James Wanless, that's WANLESS, James Wanless, on Facebook, all over the place. Voyager Tarot is on Facebook. And you can actually, on Facebook, this is cool, you can actually go to the page, Voyager Tarot Card a Day, and actually pick a card, you know, there with a random generator going on. It's very cool. Or otherwise,
and that's perfect. That's so nice. That's so different than what we were talking about when instead of you pulling a card for the world can come to you and each person can pull their own card. So that's on the Voyager Tarot on Facebook.com.
Voyager Tarot Card a Day on Facebook.
Card a Day.
Yeah. I also have that. And my website has everything. I mean, I've got all the Sustain Yourself card information. I mean, I have a book, The Sustainable Lifestyle, Adventures with Green Man, The Sustain Yourself cards, Little Stone. This is my environmental eco package of nature wisdom. And then all the Voyager Tarot stuff. And it's on my website, which is James M, my middle initial M, James M. Wanless, WAM.com. And that website's got everything on there. And, of course, it's always under construction, so, you know.
Always, always.
Always.
You know, sooner get something up than you need to have a change. I just pulled a card for you, James, and I got the Ace of Fire, which is one of my favorite cards, because it is the gift of passion and creativity and identity and who you are in the world and the cosmic gift, the joy, the becoming, and that fire, passion, which people can certainly hear in your voice about what you're doing and where you are. I love it. It's a great card.
Well, thank you. And I just picked a card for you and your show, Judith.
Oh, good.
So then? And grow the show and sustain the show and be successful with the show going forward. And it's a real sustainability question. And I got the redwood tree card for the Sustain Yourself Green Wisdom cards. Beautiful redwood tree and a little baby redwood tree. But the title at the top is called Apotheosis, a big, big word. And most people are like, what is that? How do you spell? Apotheosis is when you reach your highest potential. And so for us, for you to be successful, it's keep like a redwood tree, keep stretching and keep growing. Reach for the light. Keep going up and higher and growing and never really settling. But the great thing about nature, I must say, is nature is so successful because all aspects of nature know who they are and they know their purpose in life, their life mission. A redwood tree knows it's a redwood tree. It's not a robin. A redwood tree knows to be the greatest, the highest redwood tree could possibly be. Oh, I don't think I'm going to be a worm today. I don't think I'm going to be a rose plant today. I am a redwood tree and I'm going to be a redwood tree. So the idea from nature is to learn about who you are. And don't screw it up with all this overthinking. And then just be who you are. Live that purpose. So with this show, Judith, you are a redwood tree show. You have a great potential, but like it says, know who you are, know what the show's about, and keep doing it and keep growing it and improving it. Great advice.
Well, that's great, and I really appreciate that and knowing that it's on – that we're on the right track with it. And that's interesting that you say know who you are and know what you're doing. This has been, we've been doing this show for about 6 months now, and it's been an interesting show to watch evolve and to go back and to listen to it. And I'm really enjoying having guests on, people who are well-known in the field like yourself that I can learn from because, you know, folks, I've been reading tarot for over 30 years, and I am still learning. And so those of you who come to James or to me and say, well, I just can't get the cards. Yes, you can. It's a matter of doing it and doing it the way and where you are right now. And then you do it the way and where you are later when you have more depth and maturity about the card. And then you make it sustainable that way as well. I'm curious about something, James, as a political science, having your PhD in political science and then looking at all of the science that goes on about our environment and the world, and there's some discussion about we can't believe the science. What do you think, where do you think the world is in terms of being sustainable and people acting on it?
Scary. But it may take the power to wake people up. For example, China, you know, where I work. I even work in Beijing, which is kind of somewhat unbreathable air.
Right. I was there a few months ago,
Wow. Yeah, but the thing about it is China has had to wake up because people can't live there. I mean, literally, you've got problems. So it took that kind of a power, you know, apocalyptic kind of future here with bad air to wake up. And so they're cleaning up their air. They're probably going to be the best climate change experts in the world, much more so than the Western world, because they can. I mean, they have a government that actually does get some stuff done. But they had to wake up. But they are waking up. So my only fear about the state of the world is not only environmentally and climate change and all that kind of stuff, which is true, geez, but also the political mess.
Yeah. And they're so intertwined. And a lot of times to the outside observer, it doesn't seem as though they're as interconnected as I believe that they are.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you know, it's just so unfortunate that people, again, haven't learned from nature. I mean, if you look at every ecology that has sustained and survived successfully, they're all characterized by diversity. Openness and diversity, openness and diversity. And you're looking at a lot of these little tribal cultures or religions and sects and all that trying to become their own country, just trying to spin off into their own thing. And they're not going to survive. Monocultures do not make it. It's all about diversity. And that's one of the great things about America is being open to diverse kinds of populations and colors and values and knowledge bases and all of that. That's what sustainable behavior.
Yeah. And that's interesting too, because it's every action that we take in the Northwest. One of the things that I love about living up here, people are so ecology minded, and even people that are against climate change, they still participate in recycling. They still participate in no plastic bags. They still participate in some of the things. And I'm sure it's true like this in other parts of the country as well. And
sure,
each one of you that's out there, be responsible.
Right, and I think also, of course, my idea with the sustain yourself material is recycle yourself. Don't poison yourself. Don't waste yourself. Because in nature, there is no waste. They constantly recycle and don't poison themselves. I mean, but we do that to our very selves. So I'm talking about treating ourselves as an environment and even as a political system. I mean, as a poli-sci major, I mean, in PhD, with a tarot, for example, it's a great political system. So if I pick a card from the emotion cards, the cups cards, it's saying, and I do it every day. I think we all need a spiritual practice, a growth practice every day, which for me is a card a day to keep the shrink away, you know. But if I get a cups emotion card today, it's about honoring my feelings, honoring my emotions, and not being such a brainiac, but paying attention much more to my feelings and trusting the emotional intelligence within me. But tomorrow I might get a totally different kind of card. It might be a mental card. It might be the magician. So the way to become and fulfill your potential as a human being, to reach your apotheosis, is really live out all these qualities of yourself, particularly in tarot, which is a human psychology. And the idea of picking a card face down, it makes us very democratic in how we govern and direct ourselves. So I can't say, well, I'm going to be the emperor today, when in fact I might get the fool card today.
Right.
So it really opens us up to be more open and diverse in who we are. We're more resilient, more resourceful, and definitely more sustainable.
That's absolutely right. James, I have I so enjoyed having you on the show. And please give people your website address again and tell them where they can pick up your cards.
James M, for my middle initial, Wanless, W-A-N-L-E-S-S, so jamesmwanless.com is my website. And what was that other question you just said, the other part of that?
Where they can pick up your
cards,
sustain
cards.
Yourself cards and the Voice or Tarot deck.
Well, you can certainly order them at any bookstore. Bookstores will order them, that's for sure. Or jamesmwanless.com website. I do a lot of mailing. I have a whole store on there for all Voyager stuff and sustain yourself stuff. So that might be the easiest way. You can always go to Amazon, of course. Amazon has it all. So that should not be a problem, finding any of these materials.
And just as importantly, do you read over Skype and by telephone?
So, readings now on phone and a lot, particularly international readings on Skype. Skype is a great tool. Americans aren't that hip to Skype, but talk about doing cards because you can show the cards, I can lay them out, people can say, stop,
yes.
I want that one. It's a visual medium as well as a phone, and it's basically free. Wow. All the time.
Yeah.
All the time, Skype. Yep.
And so would they contact you through your website, or do you want to give us an email address?
Yeah, you can. A website's easy for me, or Facebook, James Wallace, on my Facebook stuff. Or you can always, I'm very accessible email-wise, which is jamesmwallace@gmail.com. jamesmwallace@gmail.com. I'm pretty easy to get hold of.
And folks, don't miss an opportunity to have a reading with James. He does, you can tell from our conversation today, he really looks at the whole human, the whole human ecology about, you know, who you are and where you're going. It's really an event. Speaking of events, James and I are both going to be going to the Bay Area Tarot Symposium in San Jose, California this coming weekend. And if any of you are going to be there, be sure and look us up and say hello. James, you're doing a workshop there, I believe I saw.
Yeah, on Sunday at San Jose, it's called BATS, B-A-T-S, Bay Area Tarot Symposium. It's about 25 years old. I'm doing a little thing there. I'm teaching people how to do the Who Am I game, a great tarot game of how people see you, how you are perceived by other people as they give you cards and say, well, Judith, I'm giving you this Empress card because I see you as the Empress. And people, you know, you do that in a circle, and it's just so interesting. Wow.
Oh, that sounds great. I'll have to take that one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you again. I really appreciate it. To my listeners, the next Tarot of Empowerment show is on September 10th. And thereafter, it will be on the 2nd and 4th Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Please email me if there's a special tarot question, tool, or person that you would like to have interviewed on my program. Thanks to our producer, Janet Hickox, who also produces the show What's Right About Men with John Freeman and Roger Whitfield. And Janet hosts her own show, Living Astrology. The schedule and archives of all of these shows can be found on EmpowerYouRadio.com. New shows will be starting in the fall, and all of these shows emphasize how you can learn new tools or old tools in a new way to take control and be empowered in your life. So thank you so much for joining us today. And again, James, thank you.
Thank you. Work. I love it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I will be the redwood tree.
Thank you for listening to Tarot of Empowerment. If you would like a tarot reading from Judith Salt, or if you have suggestions for a future show, contact Judith at judithsalt.com. That's Judith, J-U-D-Y-T-H, at Judith Salt, S as in Sam, U-L-T as in Tom, .com.